Good morning, Northgate. I am filled this morning. I really am. God really couldn't have done, I think, a better job of setting the table for what I believe God placed on my heart to share with all of you this morning. I want to begin, though, by saying how thankful I am really for this church. And I can't start speaking without saying how thankful I am for my wife and for my family. Her mother is here. She was introduced to us last week, but she's in the back. And Oscar shared with us, leading us through the service thus far. And his wife is in the back helping to translate for my mother. And so I very much appreciate how we are being a team and serving the Lord. And I am so very, very happy to have you with us, Cecilia. And I love you very much. With that, I want to say that my word today has a lot to do with church and why church. And what church? How church? And if you were listening throughout our service this morning, you heard church. All the way through the service thus far, it's been about church. And church really is the relationship that we have one with another and with God. He is the air we breathe. We heard the song, Lord, prepare me to be a living sanctuary. We, as the church, are the sanctuary of God. Amen? We heard from Bob. While we were hearing our word of prophecy, that we're not just building a building, but that the church is us. That God is living and breathing inside of each one of us. Where you go as a believer, God goes. And we have to realize that this is who we are. We are believers. We are the expression of God. We are God's love and provision in the world. Who is lost? I was coming to tears throughout most of the service. I am lost without God. I am desperate for God. I need and I know and I acknowledge before men that I need God. Amen. That I have to have God. In fact, the fact that I am here sharing with all of you is a testimony. We just talked about testimony. Is a testimony of how good God is. There are others that are among us who are without father. I am one of them. God can be a father to the fatherless. He can be deliverance to each one of us that needs to be delivered. He can be help to each one of us who is in need of help. And we, the church, we are that arms, hands, and feet, and heart that will reach others in the world who need help, who need healing, who need God. Amen? Amen? And so I want to talk a little bit about the church. The church is, again, more than a building. It is more than an organization. It is we, God's people. And I think a lot of people don't come to see what can be found in God's church because there are so many that undermine the Word of God. There are even those, and we talked about leaders yesterday in a leadership conference here at Northgate. There are even so many leaders who go astray and put themselves above God's glory. And it undermines the church. There are people who look for answers in the church, that's you and me, and they don't find them. And that's sad for me. And I hope that today we can cover just a little bit about why it is so important for us to be the people of God. I'm not going to share what scholars would call apologetics, that is a defense of the church. But I do believe that we need to get back to the basics. And one of the things that, or I should say one of the passages that shares the basics about the church is that it was founded, of course, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Acts is one of those places where we find the church being established. So the great physician Luke spoke about the church and its beginnings. But one of the places where we really find what it is that we should be doing and how we should be doing it is in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and 16th verse. If you don't have it, don't have your Bibles and that kind of thing, I will read it for you. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if we read the words there, we understand that it is God breathed. That it is God's word. That it is God's expression in his outreach to men and women, family, covenant, people of God, believers. It is for those that believe on Christ. And one of the errors, I've said it before, that we make often is we believe that the Bible is written for those that are lost. The Bible is written for those that are found. It is written for those that believe God and have made a commitment, a decision, to live for God. We heard that during our Lord's table. Not my will, but thy will be done. That is for those that are saved. Those that are called, those that are blessed by God, those that believe. That is for whom the Bible is written. And we find a lot of people don't believe in the Word of God, that is the Bible, because they have lost faith in people. People don't believe in the Word of God because they know that it has been written by people. But in this verse in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, we find that it is God breathed. And so just as you know that God speaks to you, we know that God spoke to those prophets and those folks that wrote the Word of God. And we know the Word of God is living and breathing. And it is on it that we rely to refresh ourselves, to live the Word of God, to remember the things that God has done. So often we go about our day to day and we forget. We start to do things the way the world does them. Or we're inspired by the way the world does them. Or we look for answers in the things that the world does. And we forget that we have the Word of God. We forget to pray. If God is ever present, Creator, beginning and the end, is He not able to speak to our hearts when we ask Him? And you have to remind yourself, and that's why the Word of God is here. It's an opportunity to remind ourselves that God loves us, that He is ever present, that He said He would never leave nor forsake you, and that He would be with us for all of this age. He would be with us forever. He never forgets. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always present. And if you need to remind yourself, have a little talk with God. Have a little prayer. Have a little worship. Have a little fellowship with God. And He will lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, not our own. And we won't find ourselves like leaders that are undermining the Word of God. We will find ourselves members that are working together, teamwork, to express the love of God. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. So if you forget why you are there, remember that there is a blessing in the Word of God. You might not see it initially. It may take some time. You may have to go through some tests, which I'm getting to. But it is beneficial. It is useful. You can leverage it. You can stand on it. Stand. Having done all to stand. This is profit. We like to think of business and enterprise. We like to think of institutions and where we will find our blessing, whether it be government, your job, friendship. All of these things exist, but there is nothing more solid than the Word of God. It is beneficial. It is useful for doctrine. Doctrine. It's a word that we rarely use nowadays, even in the church. But it is teaching. The Word is good and useful for teaching. And not just teaching rote memory. It's teaching application. It's teaching lifestyle. It's teaching how we should do things and for what reason we should do them. It is very, very important for you to realize how important the Bible is to living a life righteous, to living a life worthy, to living a life sacrificial, and living a life to God's glory. We can't say that our lives are so busy that we cannot spend time in the Word of God. I'm telling you, I was sharing with someone, children ask questions all day, every day. And the thing that I learned becoming a parent is that I can't very well teach if I don't know the content. I'm not able to tell my daughter, any of my sons, what salvation is, what redemption is, what sacrifice is, what holiness is. I can't explain to them the baptism. I can't share any of these concepts with them unless I know the content. And I'm telling you, there have been many, many families which have drifted away from the church because there hasn't been a dedication among the parents to commit themselves to the content. Let them find their own way. Popular phrase that we hear among secular folk. Let them make decisions for themselves. You can't force upon them your beliefs. You have to let them discover them for themselves. And if you read any literature these days, you know that young people are leaving the church in droves. And it's not that they don't need help. It's not that they don't need the fellowship of God. It's just that they're not finding it in the church. We can't substitute entertainment and economy and filling our church with enterprise, bowling alleys and Starbucks. This is what you'll find in many mega churches. And they try to substitute all those things for the simplicity of the Word of God. That is where we, as the church, that is where we find help. But we can't very well pass along that help if we haven't committed the content to our hearts. Am I making sense? And so, the doctrine is the teaching. It's the life application. Folks have to see it in us. A popular hymn, you mentioned the Baptist church, we used to sing, If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to me. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. You've heard that, right? Well, really, that is speaking about Jesus Christ. The Word tells us that He signified the death that He would die for all of us. But oftentimes we sing it in the Baptist church as if we just lifted up Jesus' name. And there is a context for that also. But it is not the mere lifting up of His name that draws people to Him. It is understanding that He died, that He was buried. And as you say, the resurrection, He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And you have to be able to share that in a way that touches someone's heart. That someone knows that they need a Savior. And we all need a Savior. But it is us living a life. Again, we're talking doctrine, we're talking teaching, we're talking lifestyle. It is us to live a life that is a living sacrifice, that other people will see the Lord God. And if we breathe the Word of God, and God is present with us, then they should be able to see. There should be something about who we are that is set apart and that is different. And that we get through the doctrine that we practice. That people see by what it is that we do, not by what we say or even what we sing. The doctrine. For reproof. The words that we find in the Greek mean persuasion. It is a test. It is not a test of the things of man. It is a test of the things of God. You can fail man's test and still very much be pleasing to the Lord your God. We are not measuring ourselves by the world's standards. Don't get caught up ever, young people, and those of us that are to be more mature now. Don't ever get caught up measuring yourself by the world standards. Surely somewhere you're going to step and trip and fall. But that is not the measurement. That is not the test. That is not the proof. Doing the things of God the way God asks for us to do them is how we test, how we reprove ourselves. And that we find in the Word of God. Amen. It says that it is good for reproof, for correction. And that right there. Most folks don't like to be corrected. If you ever want to see a person be defensive and on the flip side, offensive, correct them. Give them a proper word. Give them a word of God. Give them something that tests where they stand. That is when you will find folks with their back up. The cuss words, the slander, the setting you to the side. I was fired in an organization that said that it was about the Word of God. And I simply read the Word of God and was fired. I'm telling you because I know standing for the Word of God may not always bring you the results that you might expect, when you expect them, how you expect them. But that firing led me on a path that landed me right here. And because of someone fellowshipping in this church, I have a job more profitable, more enjoyable, greater than the one that I was in. All because I stood on the Word of God. Training. And that training is in righteousness. All of us want to be a righteous individual. I hope so. If you don't want to be a righteous individual, then you're in the wrong place. If you want to be righteous, you are in the right place. This. The church has been called the remnant of God. Remnant. It's a smaller part of the whole. Not everyone that you meet, sadly, not everyone in the church wants to be righteous. I got a confirmation of this thought on yesterday, again at our leadership conference. A pastor that walks with our Apostle Thurlow, fired from being pastor at a church. And what they told him as feedback was that we don't want to be holy. They were a church. Church building, church in name. I'm sure they call themselves Christians. But yet they said, we don't want to be holy. We don't want to be set apart. We don't want that responsibility. We don't want that charge. And I'm hoping today, this morning, having been through this worship service, having heard what it is that God wants for us, and hearing the cry of the psalmist, he, she who has written a song praising God, that you have a yearning, you have a burning that says, I want to live the life of God. I want to be in His kingdom. I want to be a Christ one. Not my will, but His will be done. Amen. And this word here is a word so that we understand, so that we receive correction, we receive instruction in righteousness. Now get this. Righteousness, I always fall back on the fact that righteousness is believing in God. He counted faith righteousness to so many you'll find in Hebrews. It's your faith, it's your believing that counts you as righteous, because there's only one righteous. It's Christ. And we drank, we ate, remembering Christ and His work. He's righteousness, His blood covers us. Covered by the blood, we are righteous. But faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And another word for righteousness we find here in 2 Timothy, and it speaks of God's justice. It speaks of what is right. So when folks talk about being right, when they talk about righteousness, it's not our rightness It's God's rightness.
Amen.
Don't let that one get by. It's not our rightness or what we want to fill in righteous indignation or what we want in vengeance or we want some honor we feel we are due. It's God's justice. And we, the church, are supposed to bring God's justice. All of what is commanded of men and women is to do what is right by God. So often we get beside ourselves again, playing according to the world's rules. Playing according to the world's standards. And the blessing is in the Word of God. And we, the remnant, in this day and age, we are called to bring forth another generation that will also praise God, that will also tell of God's goodness, that will also tell of how God delivered. That's what we do. That when he says he had given us a purpose and a hope, it's being a part of God's plan. It's being a part of what God has for the next generation. And we can find in the Word of God those that turned their way away from God, and the next generation was destroyed. And you can see a little of that even in our day and age. And so I'm proud to be a part of Northgate, who is raising champions for God.
Amen.
Who is raising young people that understand and believe and know the blessing and the benefit that is in the Word of God. We have to live the Word of God. I always prepare so much more than what I can cover in the time that I have here. And so I promise you that I did have more. But I think that looking at the time, I will conclude by us turning to a scripture in Psalms. If you will turn with me to Psalm 78. The word says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Our fathers have told us. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." That is what we are in the church. We take a hold of God's word and we share it and we give it to the next generation. My heart cries for all of the people that are outside the walls of Northgate, and so many of the other churches who are also doing the work and the righteousness of God. My heart pains for them. God said that He died so that all might be saved.
Amen.
There is nothing that hurts me more than when the people of God, the church, doesn't know the promise, doesn't know the blessing, doesn't have a testimony to share with the folks that are outside the walls. Folks are looking for help. Folks are looking for hope. People are looking for healing. We talk about brokenness today. Our brother said, you don't come to a knowledge of God, the blessing of God, without going through the brokenness. And people are broken. And they are looking to the church. That is the church of God. That is the church of Christ. That is those of us that believe on our Christ. We have to come to a point where you are tested. You have lived it. You have believed it. God has tested you. And you now have a testimony. And though it may be hard sometimes, you can sit, you can stand, you can dance, you can sing, you can praise, you can rejoice in the fact that God is yours. And you're willing and able to share with someone that I have a balm. I have a solution. I have a deliverer. I have a defender. I have a provider. I have somebody that walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I'm his own. He is a father to the fatherless. And he is a joy, an absolute joy in your soul. And folks can see it. And that is the church of God. Church, say amen.
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 Amen,
amen. Amen again.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Let's all stand.